Okay, well, let's turn with me in your scriptures to the Gospel of John. Before I did, just in wrapping up something of what we were looking at before, there's a wonderful description of gospel preaching in Ephesians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And it says, you know, such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. My sufficiency is of God. Your sufficiency to hear is of God. My sufficiency to be faithful is of everything is of God. Who also hath made us. This is his creative work. These are his ascension gifts being poured out on his church. He's made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In John 14, we're looking at life. It says at the end, there's a wonderful verse at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 18, it says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How do we be like the Lord Jesus Christ? Look, behold him, and then keep beholding him, and keep beholding him in his glory. That word New Testament in verse 6 of chapter 3 is the word for covenant, new covenant. The new covenant is the eternal covenant. It's the covenant in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a much, much older covenant than the Mosaic covenant. And everyone who has ever been saved or ever will be saved is going to be saved by the glory of the provisions of that covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back to John chapter 14. And we're looking at Christ being made manifest here. As I've said so often, the more I study John 14, the more amazed I am about it, and the more, as I said to Shanine earlier, everything we do is destined to fail from a human point of view. We're so thankful that God says that these are his words and they will cause his son to be glorified in the hearts of his people. He says in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. A comforter is one that comes alongside, an advocate, as 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without someone to come to your side in all of the trials of your life. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day when life comes, new life comes, resurrection life comes, new birth life comes, in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you. That's something the children of God all are promised to know. I'm glad he says we know it. I'm glad he says we can believe it. I'm glad he doesn't ask me to explain it other than what it just simply says. He says it in simple words, doesn't he? I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in thee. I in you. You'll know those three things. In verse 21, I wanted to have a look at these next few verses here today. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which hath sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, that whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ made manifest. The first thing I want us to notice, that Christ being made manifest is a manifestation, a revelation of him, and it's only by revelation. He reveals himself to his people, and he says to a particular people. And verse 15, those particular people are the ones that love him. In verse 16, the ones that are given another comforter who abides in them forever, this particular people. This comforter is called the Spirit of Truth. They will be comforted by the truth of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is the truth itself, and he speaks the truth, and we are reading his truth. That Spirit of Truth is known by his abiding in them, this particular people. In verse 18, they are a particular people that Christ comes to. In verse 19, they are a particular people that see him. Verse 19 also, they are a particular people who have life, a particular life, the life of God in the soul of man, nothing less. Verse 20, these particular people know the indwelling of God with God and the indwelling of God with man. Verse 21 that we want to look at briefly is that he that hath my commandments and keepeth them loveth me and is loved by the Father. I want to be loved by the Father. I want to have life with God. I want to have life in God. In verse 21, I want us to be reminded of one of the lovely things about the King James Version of the Scriptures is that it says, hath, T-H, it means to possess continually. Keepeth, it means to guard and protect and to cherish continually. And they love him continually. These are the fruit of God's love to his people. So as I said, the word hath there means to hold. These are the commandments of God. We hold the commandments of God. It means to hold them fast. It means to keep, to have in possession. It means to wear, to be closely joined to them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. It means to guard them, to attend carefully to them, to take care of, to watch, to hold fast. If you love me, you keep my commandments. Those that are loved of God love his commandments. And people want to immediately say, well, what are the commandments? And what are the commandments? I just love how the commandments of God are all the promises and all the precepts of God throughout all of his scripture. This is the gospel. And this is the commandment of God. And this is the testimony. In verse 22, verse 23, it speaks of, he'll keep my words. Whose words are these words we have before us? They're the words of God. They're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the words of the Blessed Spirit. And the Ten Commandments are just loved by the people of God. I love the Ten Commandments. You just listen to these. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the hand of bondage. I'm the Lord, I'm the God who's redeemed and rescued his people. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't you love that? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Don't you love these commandments? I love how jealous God is about his glory and his name, and how jealous he is about the worship of his people in spirit and truth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy to thousands, unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And of course, we go to these laws and these commandments of God, and we rejoice to see them in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he declared it is finished, all of these were perfectly kept. He is the Sabbath. God's children rest in him, and he's the only person who ever kept a Sabbath. He's the only person who ever perfectly rested in God for all of his provision on that Sabbath day. He is the manna that feeds his people on that Sabbath day. And when he kept that law, everyone in him kept it as well. So how do you keep the commandments? Romans 3 makes it so abundantly clear. We do not treat the law of God at any point with anything other than the greatest respect. Do then we make void the law through faith? Romans 3:31. God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. That doesn't mean we cast it to one side, do we? Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbour's. And I just love the order of God's declaration. These were given to a people who were proud, and they said to God, you just tell us what to do. It's a piece of cake. It's a piece of cake obeying God and serving him. Three times or four times they said that to him. But I love what he talked about coming into the presence of God. If you're in Exodus chapter 20, down in verse 24, it says, an altar of earth shalt thou make unto me, and thou shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, thine oxen, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and bless thee. I want to be in a place where God records his name, where God declares the glory of his name in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it out of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. On the altar, you're not to add anything. You're not to add anything to the perfect finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13 says he is an altar. He is our altar. He's our order. Neither shalt thou go up by steps. You don't come to God on the basis of progressive sanctification, getting better and better and better and working yourself closer to God. You don't come that way. Neither shalt thou go up by steps upon mine altar, that thy nakedness may be discovered thereon. And then immediately the Lord Jesus and blessed Holy Spirit tells us the story of the servants of God. And there is one servant, isn't it? Behold my servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of this servant. An Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. He's free to go. He's paid his dues. And if the servant plainly say, listen to these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love my master, I love my wife, and I love my children. I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door and unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore through his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. That's a glorious description of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And that's exactly what Isaiah chapter 51 says. He has opened mine ear. I wasn't rebellious. How does the Lord Jesus Christ serve? How does he obey? How does he obey the commandments of God? He loves his master. He loves his wife and he loves his children. And I will not go out free. I am bound. I am bound in covenant love and mercy to these people. He that hath my commandments. I love reading even the books of Leviticus, which people find boring. I love reading the extraordinary comprehensiveness of the law of God and the commandments of God, and they cover every aspect of life, sleeping, waking, what you did in war, what you did in work, what you did with your clothing, what you did with your animals. It covered all of life, which is a glorious picture, isn't it, of the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping his people in all of those things. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. And keepeth them. To keep the word of God, to keep the commandments of God, is to guard it. To attend to it carefully, to take care of, to watch, to preserve, to hold fast. What would you want to change in the word of God? Is there anything you'd ever want to change? Is there anything you would want to change about the character of God revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there anything you'd want to change about the way he saves sinners? Is there anything? We keep them, don't we? We have them. We have them by revelation. We have them written. We have them in our hands. And we have them preached to us. And we have them and we keepeth them. We watch over them. Jeremiah is told, you preach my word and you diminish not a word. When Satan comes to deceive, he wants to tear the word of God apart and break it up into little bits so that the whole looks good and then he can attack one little bit of it. How much yeast do you need to put through a whole batch of dough? Very, very little. How much poison do you need in a cup? Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 says, to the law and the testimony, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he that loveth me. To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. We, in charity, might want to say that these people speak a lot of truth. If they mix a lot of truth with a lie, there is no light in them. If the light that's in them is darkness, how great is the darkness that's in them? He that hath my commandments. What an extraordinary privilege to have the very word of God. What an extraordinary privilege it is for us to be here as those who keep them, as those who stand guard, as it were, over the word of God and say, we're not diminishing a single word. And if that means that people find the glorious things about God that we love offensive, then there are plenty of places to go. I met with a pastor some years ago and he was encouraging someone that I love very much to go off, and he said, you can worship God in any church in this town. And I turned to this pastor and said, if I go to such and such a church, I have to deny the sovereignty of God. Do you want me to go and deny the sovereignty of God? If I go to such and such a church, I'll have to deny what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Do you want me to go there? He was embarrassed and didn't know what to say. And it was a good thing that the Lord kept him quiet. It was an even better thing that the Lord shut down his church within a few months of that, so that he wasn't doing that. But he's still going on doing the same things. They speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. God's children love the word of God because the word of God declares the glory of the Word of God who was made flesh and dwelt among us. 1 John chapter 2 says, "But whosoever keepeth his word, in him truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." God circumcises the hearts of his people, Deuteronomy 30, to love him and to obey the voice of the Lord and to do all of his commandments. This is love, he says, that we walk. 2 John 6, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments. In Revelation 22:14, they have the right to the tree of life and enter in to the gates of the city. If you turn over the page in John chapter 15, the Lord makes these remarkable promises about him and being in the vine and him purifying his people by the word that he's spoken to them. But in verse 9 he says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Revelation is necessary for the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is pleased to manifest himself to a people. O Lord, come again and again and reveal yourself to us. The Spirit of truth must come to keep those commandments, and they become the possession of God's people. And a new commandment, John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. The Spirit of truth comes with life from above, with revelation of Christ in Trinity and in unity with his people. Spirit of truth comes and brings loving submission. Do you want to live any other way? I want to live. I love what Paul says about how he wanted to live his life in Philippians chapter 3. "But what things were gained to me I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead." I want to finish before we have the Lord's Supper and be reminded of the commands in John's Gospel. And they're glorious commands. What's his first command? Come and see. That's what he says, doesn't he? He says, come and see, to those disciples. You come and see. He says in John 1:41, follow me. He says his commands are not burdensome. He says at that feast where he manifested his glory, you fill the water pots and you draw out and you take to the governor of the feast. And what a glorious picture it is of the completeness of his salvation. He made the water wine. It didn't just look like wine, it was wine. And it's a glorious picture of what he does in the hearts of his people through his work, isn't it? That he makes us not to look like we're righteous, but to be really righteous, to be the very righteousness of God in him. He doesn't make us to look like we're the best wine. He makes us to be the best wine, doesn't he? That's what our God does. He manifested his glory. He says, to the woman at the well, give me to drink.
you knew the gift of God and who it was that speaks to you, you would ask and he would give. I do love the story of the nobleman in John chapter 4, verse 50. That nobleman came a long way with a dying son, a long way away. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, having rebuked him, as he must rebuke us for wanting to see signs and wonders and things. And then he says, you go your way, your son liveth. That man, who was a nobleman, I don't doubt that he had the opportunity to get down to where his son was that night, but he stayed where he was. He just believed God. Believe. Be not afraid. This is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. While you have the light, believe in the light. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. What's your warrant for coming to God in Christ in faith? He commands it, brothers and sisters. He commands, come and see, follow me. Love one another. Love one another. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the manifestation of your dear and precious Son. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that the culmination and the zenith of all of that manifestation is your Son bearing our sins in his own body on the cross of Calvary. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for who it is that bore our sins, the infinitely holy, eternal God in human flesh. And in infinite mercy and in infinite love for us, he bore infinite wrath that only the Son of God could bear. Oh, our Father, we thank you. I thank you for a broken body, and we thank you for a shed blood, and I thank you for his command that you are to eat and to drink in remembrance of him. Heavenly Father, cause us to know him and to love him, that we might be caused to remember him again and again. For we pray in his name and for his glory and for the good of your people here in this world, Heavenly Father. Bless us for Christ's sake.